Good afternoon, and welcome to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean, and it's a pleasure to spend time with you, the listening audience far and wide. This afternoon, we have a great guest, and I'm going to say good afternoon to you, Dr. Jack Monet.
Well, good afternoon, Barbara Jean.
It's a pleasure to say hello to you again and to the listeners out there. Dr. Jack, and I should say Monette, I think is the way he pronounces it, is a friend. He also is a theologian. He is a seminary teacher. He is a researcher, and he is an author. And he informed me the other day he was working on another book. But for those of you who are unfamiliar with Dr. Jack Monette, why don't you explain to them the book you wrote and the purpose for it in 2006, and that you actually included a disc at the back of your book, and it was a wonderful gift in addition to your book because it was a disc of Dr. Stephen Jones and his research on 9/11. So you've got the mic to tell them what you did with the first book, why you did it, and then we'll go to today's topic.
Well, thank you, Barbara Jean. Yes, back in 2006, actually in 2005, I began doing research. I kept waiting for someone to write a book, and you mentioned theologian. I come from an LDS point of view, and I waited for somebody in my church to write a book concerning the situation that was developing in the world, and unfortunately, no one did. And consequently, I began writing. It took me a year to write the book called Awakening to Our Awful Situation. And in that book, I did get into a lot of things that were simply unknown at that point. And I think there still are. For example, the consequences or the 9/11 destruction, how it occurred. We got into the Oklahoma bombings and what was going on there and the various things behind the scenes. And in doing that, I did come to 9/11 and began thinking about writing that. I researched it. I wrote it the best I could. And then I thought, well, this is stupid. Why am I spending my time doing this when there's a master who understands that very well down at Brigham Young University, Dr. Stephen Jones, who had given some presentations on 9/11. And, of course, I don't know if you're aware, Barbara Jean, Stephen Jones has come up now with a peer review paper on that, and an excellent paper showing that, again, those things that happened at 9/11, the actual coming down of the buildings and so forth, he's been able to show, documenting that, that things did come down from the inside, again, imploding and coming straight down and so forth. We all know what the way things looked, but again, he's been able to show that through a peer review paper and had good comments on that all the way through from people who understand physics saying, yes, that's the way it had to have happened. It couldn't have happened the way the official pronouncement was. Anyway.
And this paper would have been in 2008. Is that not correct? After the NIST report.
I think he did finish that up in 2008, right at the end of 2008.
Just so that the listeners understand that this is ongoing and this is new research. And certainly, I think it was about last August that NIST came out with their report. And in many ways, it was laughable, wasn't it?
Well, it was. They simply forgot Building 7 completely.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Jack Monette.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
Welcome back to Born on the 4th of July. I'm holding in my hands a copy of Awakening to Our Awful Situation. Today's guest is the author, and as he indicated, he got together and wrote this maybe more particularly for his LDS or Mormon colleagues and as a seminary teacher. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great read for anyone. Example, here in the foreword, for good religious people, one of the most difficult tasks in today's sophisticated world is to perceive evil when masquerading as good. Now I'm on page 70, and I can find Thomas Jefferson once said that the freedom of speech could not be limited without being lost. And then I'm turning to page 71. At the 2000 GOP nominating convention in Philadelphia, candidate Bush created a fenced-in, out-of-sight protest zone that could only hold barely 1,500 people at a time. So citizens who wished to give notice to their many grievances with the powers that be had to schedule their exercise of First Amendment rights with the decidedly unsympathetic authorities, report to the protest pen at their designated time and only in the numbers authorized, then under recorded surveillance if the authorities feel free to let loose with all the speech they could utter within their allotted minutes, although none, not Bush, not convention delegates, not the members of Congress, not the limousine gliding corporate sponsors, and certainly not the mass media would be anywhere near to hear a single word they had to say. That's America. Let's see the date of that. That was a quote that was picked up from The Nation, and it was August 6th, and the article was from reporter and talk show host Jim Hightower writing that for you. What I'm trying to indicate is, if you're afraid of the book, don't be. It's marvelous, and it covers the waterfront. Back to you, Dr. Jack Manette.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, what you said on freedom of speech there, of course, that was 9 years ago, and certainly things have not become better. They've become, if anything, much, much worse as far as being able to get the word across to the media, telling people where we really are today. You know, just if I could go back to Steve Jones for just a minute, we became very good friends after that. In fact, Steve and I have done quite a bit of lecturing together. But in that, we found, Steve had said, you have to put pictures in your book. No one will understand if you just talk about 9/11. People have to see it. And being a book publisher myself, I knew that putting color pictures in a book becomes fairly costly, and of course everybody has to absorb that cost. And so instead, after thinking about it, we had just attended a lecture given by Steve Jones at the University of, the University in Provo, anyway, whatever that other school is. Anyway.
Oh, University of Utah State. Okay, UVSC. Okay,
UVSC.
Utah Valley University. Okay.
You know, in fact, you and I had met down there, Barb Jean, at one point,
yeah,
and spent quite a bit of time talking. But at any rate, he had given a lecture down there, and I was able to purchase the rights to that lecture from the university and include that then in the book. And that seemed a much better way to do things, to be able to watch the two-hour DVD of Steve Jones talking about things and watching the implosion and so forth. That made much more sense than trying to simply discuss it in the book. So we decided to include that in that book.
Well, that should be helpful for a lot of people. Now, are these books still available?
They're in rather short supply. We printed 10,000. We're down to less than 100 now. And so we have a few. If anybody is interested, you might want to, I think you have my email address there. They can email me, and for $20 we can send the book to them with a copy of that DVD. You had mentioned that it's not simply an LDS book, and I've had two different requests from different ministers of other churches asking if we could go ahead and do this in an un-Mormonized edition, which we tried, and it simply wouldn't come out the same, but they've asked to use that in their own lectures.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've given permission on that by all means. We simply want that word to get out, that there are some problems in our society today, and we need to wake up to them.
Well, indeed, and you know, a lot of people are coming to the party, so to speak, and speaking out. So Awakening to Our Awful Situation, if anyone is interested in that, they could call RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, and we can take their names or something in that way, and we'll get back with the producers on how to contact you. So we can work on that, but you're working on a new book, aren't you?
I am. I've been asked to for quite a while, and I've kind of put it off. Honestly, book writing is difficult. It's a very time-consuming thing. And I put it off and put it off, and finally there's just so much going on right now that we really felt another book was in order. And this will be a kind of a book, too, on the same thing, about as many pages. This one has 450 pages, and probably the second book will be about that large also. But we're looking at the issue now of how we got where we are. And so it's more of a historical approach. There's a lot of history and awakening here to our awful situation, but the new book will be more history, going back to really 1776 forward, looking at the United States and the problems and how they developed, and researching specifically things like we're looking at communism, what's happened with communism in the United States and how it developed. We're looking at United Nations and how that's grown, the concept of United Nations. We're looking at banking. We're looking at government. And those are the key areas, and have fairly long chapters on each of those showing how these things have developed, how they've gone over time. We found a number of people who have been very disgusted with what's going on now in our political arena. And yet what most people don't realize, this is simply an extension of what we've already had. There's not a lot new that's going on now. It's that it's come out so blatantly that we were able to visualize, we're able to see it much more. But again, if we understand the historical basis for what's happening now, it's all right there.
Well, you know, before we leave the Awakening to Our Awful Situation, I wanted to share something with the listeners out there that might just say they don't even know who LDS is, or they don't understand Mormons and all of that. One time I had an opportunity with an international investigative journalist, and he had got a copy of this book, and he made the effort to come into Utah, up into the mountains, wherever it was, and spend some time and really go over this book. And he was so excited because there, for those people who like prophecy or believe in prophets or people who think into the future, there are references to maybe the day we live in here now and all of this evil that is out and about and in power, so to speak. And so there is that kind of a reference in the book, Awakening to Our Awful Situation.
And you must be talking about Christopher Bolin.
Yeah. And okay. That's true. That's who I'm talking about. And he's a friend of yours and a friend of mine, right?
And Steve Jones. He's very close to us.
Yes. Well, anyway, it's extraordinary because in another way, it's kind of a chronology. And it really helps you to kind of have one book to refer to Oklahoma City and look at some good data there and everything documented. So I just wanted to say that before we leave that book in case somebody thinks, well, maybe that's not for me. It does fit. It is helpful. And we need all the help we can get. Back to where we are today, I had a little bit of fun in thinking about the powers behind Russian communism. And when I say that, I just immediately thought when you said maybe you're on the chapter in your new book about communism and maybe we could talk a little bit about that this hour. And to the listeners, we're happy to take your inquiry and your calls. If you have a question or comment, that always adds to our show. So please dial in and be part of the show. So I thought about Whitaker Chambers as you talked to me about communism, and I remember I was just a young teenager and walking by the bookstores and seeing these big books with witness boldly across and wondering what on earth that would be and who were they talking about. And then if you want to go into a Google search, you can see Whitaker Chambers and some of the story there. But what was so fascinating to me in reading the book later, that he said he knew he was leaving the winning side for the losing side when he departed from being a spy in 1938 and 1939. That's pretty chilling, isn't it, Dr. Minette?
Well, I think it is. Whitaker Chambers is almost a forgotten person today. And yet, if you go back in history, 1939, you're right, that was the year that he actually began to explain who was involved in the communist cell that he was, and he knew the names of two of the cells, and the people that he named were just phenomenal as far as the clout that they had within the administration. And it was the first time that people began to get a glimpse that there really might be a problem in the State Department, in the White House, that there might be communist infiltration. And again, the names were just, they were so large that many people simply couldn't comprehend it.
Well, and it's interesting to note that this was 1939, and a friend of him, a journalist named Levine, encouraged him to spill the beans, in so to speak. And we'll, I can hear the music coming forward, and we'll pick it up there because it's fascinating. 1939, he says, hey, these are the guys you need to look out for. Did they listen? We'll be right back.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi there. Welcome back. We're talking about a little bit of history. Didn't you find it fascinating, Dr. Manette, that he goes to Adolf Burl, an assistant in the State Department, and gives him all this information? He even has White on there as a name that he was familiar with in this little cell in Washington. He had joined the Communist
Party.
Yeah, he joined the Communist Party in 1925. It's 39. And guess what happens? He doesn't go too far with that because the president dismisses it and he doesn't listen to him very much. And so the president, FDR, is not too interested. And so therefore it takes until, let's see, 1941. Burl told the FBI about the interview, but the FBI took no interest. And then he was interviewed by the FBI really in a hurry, like in 1942. And then they actually get a little bit interested in November 1945.
Yeah. And even with that, of course, you have the FBI who's making reports also at that time to the White House. And they're talking about specifically the individuals that you named, Harry Dexter White, who was the Secretary of the Treasury or Undersecretary. You had at that time Harry Hopkins in the White House. You have Lachlan Curry, who's an advisor to the president. You have some very key individuals who are known communists. You have Alger Hiss, of course, who becomes the primary person there to do combat with Whitaker Chambers. But the whole thing just unfolds to such a degree, and to such a degree, actually, that most people look at it and laugh. And they say, Whitaker Chambers, who's this dumpy old man here who he's disgruntled, he simply has an axe to grind, and he's just trying to make us think about nothing. And so you have the media who is going completely against Whitaker Chambers. And, of course, when he does it to get in the courtroom with Alger Hiss for a long time, is the hero of things. He's the one who's being persecuted. He's the one who is has been taken advantage of by Whitaker Chambers. And it's quite interesting the way the media play on that works. They had definitely had a point they wanted to prove that any disgruntlement in the State Department was the individual's problem, but there was nothing wrong in the State Department itself.
Well, you know, Alger Hiss was tall, thin, well-groomed, very, as you say, appreciated by the media, and oh no, this couldn't be possible. And I think it was late 90s, early 2000, you could see his son on television, talk shows and whatever, and denying any participation and all of that, even, you know, in this time frame. It is incredible what some people have to go through. And certainly a lot of people made fun and light of Whitaker Chambers. And remember what he said. I was leaving the winning side when I left for the losing side. And as we talk about Harry Dexter White, Bretton Woods, IMF, high-level Treasury-type person, you know, he goes on and functions way after this time frame, doesn't he?
Well, that's the frustrating thing for most people looking back at it, where all the disclosures are made. We know who he is at this point, and still we have him being appointed to different things. Probably the same would have been true for Harry Hopkins, except that he died in 1946. But you're right. Harry Dexter White goes forward. Lachlan Curry simply runs away from things. He goes to Brazil and hides out there. We have, in fact, you recall the McCarthy hearings, which follow right after the Whitaker Chambers disclosures. And in the McCarthy hearings, MacArthur says there are 57 known communists, and he said there are 21 that we feel are communists. And they laugh at him, you recall. And yet as quickly as the 57 are interviewed, 54 of them drop out and say, I think we better go somewhere else.
Well, it's a tragedy, absolute tragedy, and the people in America know McCarthyism, don't they? They know that word. They use it on a daily basis, and that's, I think, this is disinformation at its best. Can we just stop here for a minute on McCarthy, because not long ago, maybe you want to bring this up. Do you want to connect the Venona Project and how they verify?
That's fascinating. 1995. You have so many documents that now become public, and so we get to go back and get to look at things. Before we had to guess and look through history, was this person communist or did this person do that? And yet you have, like you say, through the Venona papers there, the Venona secrets they're called in some of the books.
Or encryptions. Encryptions.
Right. Mm-hmm. But where you have the disclosures that are made, you have, in fact, I've got just a very quick thing here. It says, the newly examined documents bear out what was discovered by the various congressional investigations shortly following the war, with a few added revelations that Alger Hiss actually received Soviet medals for his work at Yalta. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it makes you want to cry.
Well, I think it does, because, again, they kept heaping rewards and so forth on him, that Stalin was briefed on the atom bomb in 1941. People wonder why did Russia get the atom bomb so quickly after we exploded ours at Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Well, that's why. They knew about it far in advance. And of course, we'll get into things.
We'll pick up on the Venona encryptions when we return. You're listening to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host. I'm proud to be with RBN. I hope you're listening.
There are two major factors that sell products, sex and fear. Let's talk about this. Life Change Tea will not enhance your sexual drive other than help you to live longer to enjoy it. And when it comes to the subject of fear, don't buy Life Change Tea because you fear. Buy it because you understand. Life is too short to enjoy from a hospital bed or a pine box. This nation is at its peak of unhealthiness. It's your decision, not ours. Life Change Tea is the alternative to sickness. No fear, just fact. Walk with the few that know. Call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Life Change Tea. Get the tea and live.
The new World Order Beast is genetically modifying your food.
Genetically modifying.
Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses.
Viruses.
Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender.
Surrender.
All canned food supplies will eventually run out. What then?
Then.
Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot.
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Picking up as we return on the Venona encryptions, we should give credit to Senator Patrick Moynihan of New York, now deceased. It was his pressure and his concern that we as citizens had the knowledge of this information that brought this available to the citizenry of the United States in 1995, and there was a lot of information out there in the late 90s, and books were written in regard to this. In the Salt Lake Tribune, they ran an article in depth on McCarthy and McCarthyism at an anniversary period in, just a few years back. I called the city editor of the Salt Lake Tribune and inquired if he had heard of the Venona encryptions. His response, "Oh yes, I've heard of Venona." And I said, "Well, why then are you running this article about McCarthyism?" Because in Eastern papers, I was aware that there were some who were saying with headlines, McCarthy was right. Back to you, Dr. Manette.
Well, and you know, even at the time, McCarthy was shown to be right with so many people that he had accused who had left the State Department or had found other ways to work around it. Unfortunately, leaving the State Department at the time that he disclosed things, they could do that very simply and go right into the United Nations. At that point, Alger Hiss was in charge of hiring at the United Nations, and there was no loyalty test at all given for United Nations workers. And so those who left the State Department simply walked across the street or went to New York and worked for United Nations and virtually accomplished the same thing. So it was kind of tragic that open-door policy ran back and forth. But in those Venona papers, again, you do have things. FBI had given President Harry Truman at least 30 warnings from wiretappings and whatnot that Harry Dexter White was a communist. And that was to Truman. We have the same things disclosed to FDR. Harry Hopkins, he was by far the most influential person in the Roosevelt administration. We had always assumed that he had communist leanings, but we didn't know that for certain until 1995, when it was disclosed that he actually was a communist. So here are the closest people to the president. And, of course, we see some of the presidential decisions during that time, which greatly aided communist Russia and really weakened the United States. And you'd have to say, was he complicit? Did FDR know what was happening? Go ahead.
Well, the treaties that you talk about and the Soviet Union, how it figured, the Lend-Lease, all the many things that happened after that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because this is a little bit history, but it certainly is a background, and it fits with what we do today for sure. Go ahead, please.
And that's it. If it were simply a chapter that was passed, that would be one thing. But these things are ongoing, and we're simply talking about a foundation for many of the things that are taking place today. You mentioned Lend-Lease. And Lend-Lease, if you recall, we had said as a nation, we didn't want to get involved. We were pacifistic during World War II, we said. And so we said instead, let's go ahead and allow the Allied powers to have certain things that America produced. We call that Lend-Lease. And I'm not sure where the name comes from or really what it signifies, because it was lending indicates you give something back after you lend it out. Nothing came back. Nothing was leased. There was no money involved. And so these various things were given to various countries, to Britain. Britain, however, did give things back. Britain gave us land for our bases and such. But Moscow was especially involved here with Lend-Lease. We wound up giving Moscow 15,000 airplanes, 7,000 tanks, 581 naval ships. Those were things that were simply giveaways. And so many of the things we gave by Lend-Lease to Russia was given for after-the-war production, not simply during the war. And frankly, Russia had pretty well bowed out of things from her actual military involvement in World War II when she was receiving most of these things. An excellent book, and I'm sure you're familiar with Major Jordan's diaries.
Yes, and how he was seeing all this happening, and I think he was in New Jersey or someplace, and they were just shipping everywhere, and he was asking a few questions, and I think he got placed some way far away, so he wouldn't say too much more.
He asked the right questions, and of course he saw things taking place. He said the strange thing was he kept coming across these names that he couldn't pronounce, and of course they all had to do with chemicals to make the A-bomb. And at that time, he had no idea what uranium was. He had no idea what these various things were. But he personally talked to Harry Hopkins, was funneled on the telephone through the Russian colonel that was responsible in Great Falls, Montana.
Oh, yes, and didn't they have places on the airports or the tarmac or whatever that were actually Russian activities going on that he couldn't penetrate?
It was amazing. It was amazing, yes, they did. And in fact, let's see, I'm going to just try to find a particular thing from his diary because I found it so fascinating that he was able to see what was going on, and yet he wasn't able to do much about it. He wasn't able to say things because he found that everything he tried to do was contradicted by the State Department of Washington, D.C., primarily Harry Hopkins.
And he was this chief advisor to President FDR.
Harry Hopkins was.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. In fact, here's a conversation that goes on, and here's the Colonel Kotikoff, who is...
Just a minute, Dr. Minnick. Would you give the name of the military person that tried to expose this again for the listener who might be taking notes or saying, hey, what did he call him? Would you give his name? Okay.
Yeah, it was Major George Racy, and he went by Racy, R-A-C-E-Y, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N. And the book is called Major Jordan's Diaries, which doesn't come out until 1953, quite a bit later. In fact, he's told by the State Department, just be quiet, go away, don't say anything about this, just do your job or you'll go somewhere else. In fact, they threaten him, they're going to put him out in the South Seas if he keeps talking. But here is now Colonel Kotikoff, who is the Russian major, working in the same base, and the two of them work hand-in-hand together getting these Lend-Lease items to go into Russia. And he says, Mr. Hopkins, coming on now, big boss Mr. Hopkins, he wants to talk to you. And here's Jordan, who says, a bit and I stammered, Jordan speaking. A male voice began at once, this is Mr. Hopkins. Are you my expediter out there? There's a certain shipment of chemicals going through that I want you to expedite. This is something very special. And, of course, they're all A-bomb materials. Shall I take it up, I ask, with the commanding colonel? I don't want you to discuss this with anyone, Mr. Hopkins ordered, and it is not to go out on the records. Don't make a big production out of it. Just send it through quietly in a hurry. And so we have all of our military secrets, and these, again, particularly the chemicals and all the necessities for constructing an A-bomb going right out under our noses. We ourselves are having difficulty. In fact, half the uranium in the United States is shipped to Russia at that time. Amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. Absolutely. It's chilling. It's absolutely chilling. And well, we've got to come to the party, don't we? We have to come to the party.
Well,
we have to know the history.
This just goes on and on and on. It's not a single episode. It's over and over again. And, of course, while Major Jordan is there, they try to ship these black briefcases, and he wonders what's in the black briefcases, and they won't tell him. Every time he comes close to them, they say, diplomatic secret, and or diplomatic immunity and such. And finally, he's able to get into the various suitcases that are there. They keep shipping out on a regular basis. He said he went there, and he said promptly they went insane. They danced. They pushed at me with their hands. They shrieked at me over in English, one word they knew. It was diplomatic. And he said, I began opening the suitcases. A leading courier flung himself face down across the suitcases with arms and legs outspanned to shield as many suitcases as possible with his body. I dragged one of the containers from under him, and he leaped up again as I started to saw through the first cord. At his sight, their antics and shouts redoubled, and over again, just the nonsense that goes on there. But you have him trying to protect what he feels are secrets of the United States, and he's unable to do it. You know, do I have time just to share a personal experience?
Sure. They'll let us know with some wonderful music when it's time
okay.
for us to be quiet. Okay? Go ahead.
You know, I lived in communist China for a while. I taught there back in the mid-90s. And in teaching, I was at a geological university where the military secrets and so forth of China were there. And at one point, a man came from the United States, and of course, we were the only English speakers in the entire city. And so he came, he spent quite a bit of time with us. And he was coming from the, National Regulatory Agency, Nuclear Regulatory Agency. And he had been sent out by the administration to say whatever the Chinese asked, he was to answer and give truthful answers. And he was talking, I went to one of the lectures, and he had an interpreter there, so I could understand the English, but the interpreter, they would interpret that in Chinese. And he was talking about nuclear waste and how to dispose of it and how to best use it, and went through all the things on which they could understand that I really couldn't. But he began doing things, diagramming on the board. Every time a question was asked, he didn't stop at all. He went right through it. He came to our home right after that particular lecture, and I said, how do you feel about giving all these secrets away, things that we've worked years and years to understand and know? And he said, I hate it. He said, I hate it, but I'm told I must do this. The government wants us to be totally open with everything in China, everybody in China. They are to know there to be no secrets. That was in 1995.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't know that part of it, did you?
No, I didn't.
that was quite an interesting experience we had the full year there, working at that particular university, because, again, they were concerned
about...
And
where were you in China when you were there?
Well, it was called Jiangxi Province, which is south-central China. And it was, a geological university. All the universities are
categorized.
Categorized in various areas of academic expertise.
I was just going to relate that I had a visit to China in 1999, and that was never a place I thought I would like to go, but I was gone for about 2.5 weeks and had a cruise on the Yangtze because they were going to do this marvelous Three Gorge River
right.
Dam,
right.
You know?
Right.
And So I was able to visit quite a few cities and country in China. I'm very delighted that I had that view and that experience, a vast kind of a harsh country, I thought. But I didn't know you had spent time in China. I think that has to add to all the things you do, too.
Well, you know, I have, you'd asked me to put a list of things down there, and I put down personal experiences with Chinese communism. And we had experiences. This has been now 12 years since we left China, but it was just coming out of, coming into the open, if you will, for tourism, that sort of thing, and coming out of the Maoist tradition. And fascinating that the people there and what they had been through, what they shared with us, and we began for the first time to understand communism and what it was. I didn't know what communism was. I just knew I was an anti-communist, and you weren't supposed to believe in communism, and communism is where you had all things in common. But I didn't understand the government and what it did until that experience in China. And there's some horrifying things that went on.
Well, you know, wasn't that in the 60s, the time frame when they were after the intelligentsia so much and they had this young, youthful group that went everywhere? Was that the time frame? It seemed like it was. Where
leading to Tiananmen Square, you mean, or what?
No. They had a momentum there with youth brigades that really went throughout China. Mm-hmm. And if you were an intelligent person or if you wore glasses or whatever, you had to go to the fields or in order, it just kind of turned over the intelligentsia. And I remember reading a book by a woman whose daughter was a radio or television personality type, and that because of that, she was targeted, and the mother had to go to jail. And, I mean, just frightening, powerful plays upon the people and upon society. And we have a lot to fear about that because it translates to far different control than we hear about when you share everything, right?
Well, of course, that was one of the areas there of the Communist Manifesto, that everybody is to equally share in everything together. And the way that Mao interpreted that was that everybody should undergo the same experiences no matter what your inclination was. And so he did just as you said, people that were teachers, people that I worked with side by side, in the 50s and 60s, they were plucked out of teaching and put in the fields.
Right.
And then you'd take people in the fields who couldn't read and write, and you'd put them in the universities to teach. It was just complete nonsense. And, of course, that just made a mockery out of education. It made a mockery out of the agricultural area. Nobody could grow things. That wasn't their inclination again. And so you have people totally mixed up, and it took them 10 years to get back together again.
Do I have a caller on? No caller, thank you. It's indicating that I do, but we'll just check you out because if we have callers, we'd like to take you. So I'm getting a wrong story on my screen. It's an exciting thing to be on the air over the internet and speak about so many topics, and we do encourage you to call us in, call in and join with us here at RBN. It's astonishing that we have these cycles, don't you think, where maybe China is more stable now. In 1999, when I was there in Shanghai, they looked like they were building every skyscraper in the whole wide world, and they had all of this scaffolding in bamboo, and it just really caught my interest. And yet so many of them were half built and just standing there. Do you recall any visual like that?
Oh, definitely. You talk about the bamboo scaffolding. Initially, I thought, what in the world? Can't you afford 2x4s? And speaking with one person I was fairly close to there, he said, no, bamboo is the strongest structure in the world. And he went on to say, the Lord gave you 2x4s. The Lord gave us bamboo. And they look at that very, very much as being providential that they have the bamboo. They use it for everything.
Well, it's wonderful if it can. It looks, you know, like it doesn't belong up there so high in the sky and with such a lot of, it has this big responsibility to hold that building together, and it just doesn't seem like it would. Also, in Shanghai, you could see the squatting and the terrible housing or little huts that people would live in right next to the high-rise skyscraper. I remember that.
Yeah, and the outdoor plumbing canals and so forth. It's filthy. It really is. And China, I think, has cleaned things up a great deal, at least for what tourists see. But there is a lot of filthiness there in China. And, of course, you have that many people and you don't have the modernization.
Right. We'll be right back.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Ladies and gentlemen, listening audience, we have Harry Hopkins telling Major Racy Jordan to do just those things that shouldn't have been done. We have Alger Hiss, the director of the Charter of the UN, holding forth very important event in San Francisco many years ago, the founding of the United Nations. We have Harry Dexter White, who was a top dog in the Treasury Department and was an initiator and a very key person of Bretton Woods and the creation of the IMF, I would say the financial arm of the UN. And yet we now know that they were communist spies. Can you believe it? Then we have communism in China, even so today, we used to say Communist China. Now we say China, and I'm afraid we should all bow because they are indeed our financier, our financial, what is it, savior, Dr. Manette?
Well, that's what Hillary Clinton, I think, would say. And yet, you know, within China itself, over 76 million people have been killed by communism, by either intentional starvation or what they call the anthill. Have you heard that term, the anthill?
Explain it, please.
Well, a woman wrote a book back in 1960, Suzanne Laban, and she wrote The Anthill, The Human Condition in Communist China. And that simply refers to what you had mentioned before, the Red Guard coming in and destroying everything Chinese, the Cultural Revolution.
Right.
And in the process of the Cultural Revolution, many, many people lost their lives if they spoke out against communism. These were generally young men from the ages of 16 to 25 who really got excited and enthused about pressure and assuming that they had some leadership, and they've indiscriminately killed almost 30 million people during this revamping of China. But the woman who wrote the book, the Anthill, lived in Hong Kong, and she, in 1960, began to interview the people there. Many of them were Chinese refugees. Recall, Hong Kong at that time was British. And so the Chinese would come in for asylum in Hong Kong. She would interview them, and she said she noticed the first thing the people did when she would interview them was to beg not to reveal their identity for fear of reprisals against their relatives who were still living in communist China. When I read that part of the book, my mind began racing back to experiences that I had. Let me just share one experience with you. It was a very personal experience. We had a professor who lived right below us in the same complex. We became very good friends, he and his wife, and, of course, my wife and myself. And we had daughters the same age also. So as we began talking at one particular time, he began reminiscing about things that had happened to him. He said when he was a young student, he had gone to Beijing. And do I hear music? No. Okay. Are you there, Barbara Jean? Hello? Oh, okay. At any rate, he said, here I was a young student. I wanted to study geology. I went to Beijing to a geological university there. I was an undergraduate student, probably 20, 21 years old at the time. And they had come to him from the Cultural Revolution under Mao. They'd gone to him saying, we're looking for 8 people to go to Tibet and drill for oil. And it wasn't a matter of choice. He simply was singled out as one of those 8. They then went to Tibet and up to the Tibetan highlands there at 8,000 feet. They had no idea where to drill for oil, but they said, let's try here.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog.